Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You need to create explosive plays.
First off, we're taking a receiver every round.
Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Xavier Worthy are all there. Xavier Leggett. I'll tell you what, to watch these guys at the combine, some big, tall, heavy, fast dudes. It was pretty impressive to watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got them.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Lindy Ruff wants a wide receiver. We'll talk about Lindy's press conference.
That part specifically.
A little behind the scenes of the show today. Got in thinking, what do we start with? What do we open with? What's the production element? Is it Lindy's presser? Is it choo-choo one more day?
I think it's got to be choo-choo.
Yeah, I got up and...
I hear the tracks rumbling in the distance.
I got up and listened to the song One More Day from Les Mis because it's one more day till the draft.
Okay.
I was listening. I'm like, well, can we use the lyrics here for an open? It's one more day.
I just want to play train songs on loop.
Like Chattanooga Choo Choo, which we haven't used yet. You know Chattanooga Choo Choo?
No.
Jazz song.
Okay.
Yep. Look at me.
I was thinking more like Crazy Train.
Ah. Yeah.
Or there's a John Mayer song, Stop This Train. Although I don't want that.
No, that's right.
That's the one I don't want.
He says I want to get off.
Yeah.
Crazy Train, I hate. And it's the anthem of the
night.
Hate.
Hate. Why? It's fine.
Oh, hate.
It's a classic.
I would pay dollars to never hear it again in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Dollars.
Is it just that it's overplayed?
It is
overplayed. I would not dispute that.
It is overplayed. And I'll go this far. I would pay dollars to never hear anything from Ozzy Osbourne ever again. Dollars.
Okay.
Now, there's a little bit of context to this. In a former life, and by former life, I mean like 25 years ago, when I was in college, I worked at a classic rock station. And I like classic rock just fine. There are just some songs. Howard had the story of Bob Seger's Night Moves, when they changed format at a station. Maybe it wasn't Night Moves. It was Old Time Rock and Roll. Sorry.
Okay.
Howard worked at a station that changed format.
Yeah.
And they played Old Time Rock and Roll for 24 hours. And because of that, he could never listen to that song ever again.
Yeah.
So that was my story. We didn't play Crazy Train for 24 hours at 95X in Syracuse, but it was like once an hour. And yeah, I got pretty tired of it.
Huh. Okay. So you don't. He's in like stuff now, isn't he? Isn't he in like shows?
Oh yeah.
Tried to make the transformation to like sitcom dad?
Oh, he's effectively, basically, I think, done that. Yeah. And I'm. Yeah. No thanks.
All
right. I'm not interested.
All right. So don't play, Josh. Do not play Crazy Train in the next 36 hours.
Although there was a Crazy Train version played by elementary school kids on xylophones that I listened to.
That's the one?
Yes. Okay. That one I'll allow. The rest of them, no.
All right.
So good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It's Wednesday. We've got Paul Hamilton at 7 to recap Lindy Ruff's press conference from yesterday. Got a lot to say on that. We've got Joe Marino at 7:30 from Locked On Bills. He had to move his schedule a little bit. Joe and his wife, congratulations to them. They've welcomed a new baby girl, and the schedule's moving around for Joe. So he's on at 7:30. And then Sal will join us at 8:30. Mr. Sal Capaccio at our website, WGR550.com, has posted his one and only mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
Sal Capaccio at WGR550.com, his one and only mock draft. And this was a very tense moment for me when I clicked this link, Joe, because I had that aside if I was going to talk to Sal in the next 24 to 48 hours,
mm-hmm.
or if I was going to go straight out silent treatment.
Right.
You're dead to me, Capaccio. He goes, defensive tackle. Dead to me. So you can read it at our website, WGR550.com. I won't spoil it on who he picks, but he does say that he has a hard time. I'd be surprised if the Bills take anything other than wide receiver in round one, regardless of where they pick.
Love to hear it.
That's what Sal says.
That's what I need to hear.
Anything right else would be a surprise.
Yep.
But then again, we'll see how the draft goes. So that's one thing going on today. We've got Sal at our website on that. Then there's WalterFootball.com.
Yes. Now,
you may or may not know Walter Football. Walter Football has been around for what? Decades?
I'm before me.
Yeah.
They exist when I'm starting to follow football.
Yes. I know WalterFootball.com as a scouting site, as a draft site. They have operated in the draft space and I guess the fantasy football space as well for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about their breaking stories or breaking rumors or anything like that. But that said, there is a article today from WalterFootball.com, Charlie Campbell, where he writes that he is hearing, the sources are telling them, Buffalo has been calling teams and gauging trades to be prepared to move up. And the Bills are targeting wide receiver, and the most likely targets are Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bills would be looking for. They're preparing, or at least laying the groundwork, so they know, hey, if it comes to you, what's your price? Which makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go in knowing how much would I have to pay you to get to 11? How much would I have to pay you to get to 16?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got that set aside. So when you're on the clock and there's 15 minutes ticking down, we already know a rough framework of the price if you decide you want to give us a ring.
Right.
Or take our call.
Right.
So you could call that due diligence. You could also say it's the kind of prep you make when you are ready to act.
Right.
Why do you meal prep? To eat.
Yeah. You don't meal prep and then leave it in the fridge and not eat it.
Right.
Throw it out the next week. You don't try to do that, at least. Benjamin Albright kind of backed this up, by the way, and he's been in on some stuff,
yep.
draft stuff over the years. He got asked by someone about that exact report from Walter Football, and his three-word response was, they are trying.
Trying.
They are trying.
So let me ask you this. Let's play a little game about drafts and trades. I am who's got the 11th pick? Minnesota, not a good example. Denver, 12. Man, might be tough too because these teams might find a quarterback that falls in their lap. But whatever, I'm Denver.
We're going to Vegas at 13?
Yeah, okay, Vegas. Okay. I'm Vegas at 13. Brandon Bean calls and says, what's the price to get me up to where you are at 13?
Yep.
Let's say, in ProFootballTalk.com's mock draft, by the way, their final mock, Odunze falls to 12.
Right.
And the Bills grab him at 12. So, worth considering that too. Anyway, if I'm a team taking this call from Brandon Bean, do I say, yeah, here's my price, and do I undersell it a little bit? Because let me explain when I'm playing the game here.
Yeah.
I want him thinking he can get it. And then it comes to draft night, and he calls to say, we good on that deal? I say, ooh, you know what? There's a guy we like. It's got to be a little sweeter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting him in the door with the whole intent to pull more out of it once he's here.
Yeah.
Or do I shoot high on the price and let him know?
I just get it done, right? Like, when's this trade conversation, by the way, being made? Like, they're on the clock and this is happening? So I've got, like, what, 8 minutes to get this thing done?
Well, if you are, again, the Raiders, by the ninth pick, you're calling and saying, like, we still on? We good?
Okay,
you
want
to get this thing moving?
That's right.
What do you want to do? We just need to see our guy there. We just need to see our guy.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I'd want that conversation. It is worth pointing out, Joe Ostrowski did say this yesterday. I think I heard another Bears guest the other day that if Adunze is there at 9, they're not going to let him get past them. Like, they would love to do that.
Smoke screen?
Smoke screen, you think, by the Bears?
It's a fun time of year. It's almost like April Fool's Day. Literally, it's reported, you can say.
I think that might be fake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably right. But... I don't know. It's kind of pretty sweet, though. Isn't it Keenan Allen with DJ Moore and Rome Odunze? I mean, you're bringing in a new quarterback. Like, I could buy that the Bears would be like, that's our guy. If he's there, we're not trading down with anybody.
Absolutely. And is society ready for the Chicago Bears to have a passing attack?
No.
I don't know if we can handle that.
No.
It's something we've never seen.
Yeah.
It'd be like a world with two suns.
Yeah. But if the outcome, I mean, that would be the due diligence, right, is, okay, let me act as though the Bears are smoke screening, because if they are, then I need to be ready. I need to be ready to move up into the early teens because one of those top three receivers fell to a spot where now it's realistic for me to get him, and he's going to go be my number one receiver. Number one receiver, like immediately, out of the gates.
Yep.
And that, to me, is different than, I mean, even Thomas, but Mitchell, Leggett, all these other guys, like you're hoping those guys can come in right away. But I feel like the expectation of the top three guys is they are going to be great players the second they touch the field in the NFL. And I think that's different than, you want to trade up to 16 for Brian Thomas. I would hope that you're going to get that from Brian Thomas, but I feel like there's a lot more conviction that Adunze is just going to do it the second he arrives.
Fun times. It'll be tomorrow night. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. We'll get some calls on this. And, of course, recap Lindy Ruff's press conference. Have a lot to say about that. Last night in the NHL, Sergei Bobrovsky made one of the best saves of all time.
Yeah. I've been trying to decide if it's recency bias to call it the best save I've ever seen.
It probably is.
It's one of them.
It's one of the most insane saves you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky.
Like flipping behind himself.
Backhand.
Like just kind of thrusting himself in the air, like not knowing where the puck's going to go because he's literally facing the opposite direction.
Yeah. It's a Hasek save.
Yeah, it really is.
So we'll get to that too. 37 hours, 47 minutes, and 3 seconds till
the
draft.
Thank you, courtesy of ESPN, because their countdown clock's been on for like a day already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, to the phones. I do have lots to say on Lindy. I'm sure you do too, because that was quite a press conference yesterday. Ray on a cell phone is going to start us off as we are one day from the draft. Ray, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks, Ray.
All right. So, draft trade proposal for the Bills, because just seeing what happened yesterday with the Giants, I guess Darren Waller is retiring, and I think maybe the Giants would be one because of the relationship between Bean and Schoen. Bills trade their first, this year's first, the second where they got from Houston and Dawson Knox to the Giants for their first. I think it makes sense for the Giants in that situation.
Yeah. Well, with Knox, it's funny, like thinking about player trades in a move-up scenario. This can be brought up for the Ayuk idea, where the report was San Francisco asked for a first and Zay Jones. And players do get moved. Maybe Ayuk gets moved this draft weekend. And, you know, could we include Dawson Knox with that? They did just rework some of his deal. They might have needed to. But by redoing his deal, you know, does that make it? We can almost not rule anything out, Joe, because they did eat $31 million to get rid of Diggs. With Dawson Knox, I feel like the Bills probably still view him as important. I don't know how long that lasts, but yeah.
Waller, by the way, did not retire.
He's still considering it.
He's considering. He yesterday, I think him and his wife announced the divorce.
Okay.
She plays in the WNBA, Kelsey Plum, but I didn't see anything about him retiring. So anyways,
he was thinking about it. Then it looks like he's coming back, and I've read a little bit that maybe it's still not, you know, locked up.
Right. I mean, was Rappaport talking about Ayuk yesterday, by the way? Like, Ayuk seems more on the table right now than he has been this whole offseason. I mean, no, there was a report that they made an offer to the Jaguars, but Mike Silver is reporting about it. Florio's talking about it. Rappaport is talking about it, that the only way that the door gets shut on a new deal is when he gets a new deal. and that other teams are willing to do it? Like, shouldn't I assume the Bills would be are one of the teams to be willing to give Ayuk an extension?
I would hope so.
Their cap situation lines up with it, where you don't have much space at all right now, but you've opened yourself up to some room in the future years because of all the cuts you made.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It feels hard to believe that Ayuk wouldn't be a great idea that the Bills are considering. I saw a stat yesterday from Ian Harditz. Like, all-time, what was it? Was it maybe yards per route run? I'll find it. He just had, like, a season last year where he was number one in the league all-time by a lot.
Yeah.
Just based on, like, what he gets per when they throw him the football. He's just always open, but he only gets it a certain amount of the time.
He's the new Diggs.
Like, he's
the new Diggs.
He's on my list of, like, potential things they could do tomorrow. I wouldn't put many things above it.
I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that we're talking about it on Friday. That on Thursday, they've drafted a defensive tackle or defensive end, Chop Robinson. And we come in and we're talking about how the board fell.
Yep.
And we're thinking, well, Ayuk is still available. Could the Bills trade 2 seconds? Would that be good enough for the Niners? If the Niners want a first, that's all well and good. When the first round ends, if Ayuk has not been traded, all of a sudden their ask might go to, okay, fine, 2 seconds.
Should I assume that the fact that that's out there, that they want a first, that means nobody has offered them a first?
Michael Silver has the latest on this.
Okay.
So there was some reporting last night, exactly that the belief is that Ayuk is there to be had. And if you want him, you got to pony up the price. But right now, no one is willing to pay the first round pick. Again, that's because maybe they're waiting for the draft board to fall. But Michael Silver writes, there's a sense among other high-ranking personnel executives around the league that Ayuk, as one such executive put it, is available for the right price. To this point, the Niners have asked for a 2024 first-round pick. They want too much, said the executive whose team is in the market for a receiver. Now, here's one thing about this goes for trading up, trading assets, everything. The first round is pretty big.
Yeah.
Is Ayuk worth the third pick? No. Is he worth the 27th pick? Definitely.
I think he totally is.
So when a team says they're asking for too much, that team might be selecting 14th. Like, we're not going to give you the 14th pick.
Right.
If we were picking 29th, we might. Like, could Kansas City be a candidate for Ayuk? I don't know.
Would
the Niners trade him there? Or would they say, no thanks, because we might play you again?
Yeah.
Could Baltimore think Ayuk's a good idea? Absolutely. Like, A lot of these teams could. So yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is the team he tweeted about, right?
That's right.
And he tweeted Mike Tomlin.
Andrew Filippone has reported that the Steelers have discussed what kind of trade package it might be to go get him.
Right.
So,
and if you're the Bills, you better hope they don't offer a first-round pick, because you're kind of out of the ballgame then, aren't you?
Probably. You might have to sweeten
it. If you even wanted to trade your first, I mean, just because of simple where the draft order is, if 20 is on the table, then somehow you've got to get your value above 20.
Which is probably a third, and you don't have that.
You don't have a third.
Or maybe a fourth. The package for Diggs was a first and a fourth when they traded for him.
Right, yep. That stat, by the way, from Ian Harditz was most yards per target in a single season ever since it started being tracked in 1992.
Ayuk.
The top five ever. Victor Cruz, 11.7. Torrey Holt, 11.8. Eric Molds, 11.8. Nico Collins, 11.9. All those guys were between 11.7 and 11.9. Then Brandon Ayuk, number one, 12.8.
Yeah.
It's like a full yard above anybody else ever in yards per target.
And what is that? That's an elite receiver with an elite play caller. Is really what that is.
Yes.
Not an elite
that doesn't get the ball a ton.
That's right. That's right. And you might say the yards per target is so high because he doesn't get the ball a ton. He still did get 100 targets. I mean, it's not like a guy leading the league with 17 targets. He got 100.
Well, the Diggs comparison is ties in here, too, because when in Minnesota, like, what did Diggs have in Minnesota? 94.
Yeah, the year before he got traded, he was 94.
94.
Which is a crime.
A total crime, yeah. He had that year. Interesting that Diggs isn't on that list, because Diggs I have here at 12.0 from that Minnesota year, so that would make him second. But anyways.
He was second in the league that year on yards per target.
Yeah. So he 94 in 2019 and then jumps to 166 with the Bills.
Yeah.
Like, that is where Ayuk needs to go. Whatever team is acquiring him, he needs to go from 100 to like 170.
Well, that's one thing the Bills maybe can offer. I don't know. Maybe Joe Brady has this offense going in a different direction, but if you're Ayuk or the agent, you say, you know, do you want to be a household name on a winner? He kind of already is. He's definitely on a winner with San Francisco.
Well, Bean did also just say a week ago that he doesn't believe they need to have a number one wide receiver. Which, he could, of course, backtrack that immediately upon trading for Brandon Ayuk. But that is what that is. If you go draft Xavier Worthy or Ladd McConkie or someone like that, then to me, you can totally sell the idea of between Samuel, Shakir, and McConkie or Worthy and Kincaid, like we got a bunch of guys and everyone's got their own thing they're good at, and you know, everyone's going to kind of have their own game maybe. You go trade for Ayuk, you're back to we got an alpha number one receiver.
Well, if you go everyone's got their own game, you only have that until one of them becomes so good you call them a number one receiver, and then of course you don't act like that's a bad thing.
True. Right.
No.
That's
no.
Fair.
No GM would like their receiver to be less good.
Right.
Which is right. Kind of what you're asked to believe. Like, well, I don't. Oh, we don't need a number one receiver. Okay. That's the kind of thing you say where you say it when you don't have it. So we'll see. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Bills and the draft tomorrow. It is.
They're going to do it, right?
Well,
they are minus 350 to draft wide receiver now.
In the first round?
Yeah, I'll look, but I think that is got to be, other than like the Bears with like
the Bears
Caleb
for quarterback.
Williams. Yeah, there might be quarterback teams that might have better odds for that, but I can't imagine there's many teams out that aren't looking for quarterback that have stronger odds to pick one certain position.
Yeah.
Like aren't they number one in the league for that? Any team in the league that's being mocked for certain players. It isn't the Bills drafting receiver probably number one? Is there one that would be higher? Even the Chiefs drafting receiver, I feel like, would probably be lower, wouldn't it?
There are a few. The Chargers and receiver, maybe. Mike, was it Mike Clay yesterday that put out his chart? We love our charts, don't we? Ranking every single position group in the NFL. Did you see this yesterday?
No.
It went around. Oh, you're going to love this. Ranking every single position group in the NFL. Every team, based on their quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends, offensive line, defensive line, edge, linebacker, safety, all that, right? Okay. So, here's the fun question. You want to make this instant trivia?
Sure,
whatever. We got instant trivia.
Instant trivia is brought to you by Seneca Gaming in Irving, home of the biggest bingo payouts and slot machines with thousands won daily.
Okay. Think of it like a GPA between a 0 and a 4.
Okay.
Like quarterback, how are the Chiefs? 4.0. Perfect. How are the Bills? 3.9. Great.
For the whole thing.
For the whole, like, how are your quarterback? How good is your quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, who gets a 0.1? The Commanders. Who gets a 0.3? The Broncos.
Yeah.
So these are GPAs.
Okay.
What Mike Clay assesses your position groups to be.
Okay.
The Bills at receiver get a what? It's a GPA from a 0.0 to a 4.0. What do the Bills have on Mike Clay's receiver metric?
Receiver, they get like a 1.7.
Lower.
1.2.
Lower.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
0.8.
Lower.
Wow. 0.4?
Got it.
0.4?
Yep.
Yikes.
Here's the trivia. The teams below them.
Okay.
There
teams
are,
below them. At receiver?
There are two.
Wow, there's only two.
Mike Clay's assessment of the Bills receiver group is that only two teams have less at receiver than the Bills. Who are those two teams?
Kansas City?
No.
Okay. I don't know if he would have counted Rice or not.
He does. Okay. I mean, he must. Chiefs are out of 1.8.
Okay. Lower than the Bills at wide receiver is going to be... This is pre-draft, too,
pre-draft,
right?
Pre-draft.
Okay, yep. So are the Cardinals on here?
They are.
Okay.
0.1.
Yeah. I don't even know who do they have right now.
Mike Wilson. Greg Dortch.
I forgot that Marquise Brown went to Kansas City, so Kansas City was an even worse guess. Right. But they're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. The Giants.
No. Isn't that stunning?
Yeah, who do they have that they're higher? What's their grade on that?
0.5.
Okay, so it's point. Okay, zero, it's very,
zero, zero sure. 0.5.
All right.
The answer is the Chargers. It's the Chargers.
Oh, right.
Ranking the worst receiver groups in football by Mike Clay, pre-draft grades. It goes Cardinals, Chargers, Bills.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your instant trivia. Not really trivia, but kind of is trivia. We did our best.
Well, and those other three teams, the Giants included, who were right behind them on Clay's thing.
Mike, go receiver 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, like they all have the opportunity to grab one of the big three if they want to. All of them. And the Bills do not have that opportunity.
Yeah. 803-0550. Paul, to recap Lindy's press conference at 7 o'clock. I want to give some thoughts on that as well. I'm sure you have some too. Man, nostalgia. One of those moments where I realize it might be working on me. The Sabres are saying a lot of it's not about nostalgia. And I'm there wiping tears away being like, it is for me.
Yeah.
So we'll get that. Plenty to get to. Your phone calls as well. 803-0550 from a trade up all the way to the top to somewhere in the middle. Or, of course, the stick and pick at 28, which is what Sal did in his mock at WGR550.com. You can give us a call. You can shoot us a tweet, whatever you want. We're here for you. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
We do talk about how, man, it would be really cool to get back to those winning ways, have the fans back in the building, pack the house, and see what the city of Buffalo could bring to the hockey world and as a team what we could bring to the hockey world. There are talks about that, and we just got to come ready day one of camp, and that's where it all begins. It's not looking too far ahead. It's worrying about what you're doing in this exact moment or this exact day and go from there.
Alex Tuck on meeting with Lindy Ruff at yesterday's Sabres press conference. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Talking draft, talking Sabres with Lindy Ruff's hiring and introduction as well. It was a pretty cool press conference. Not one that was like others because it felt familiar, right? You're getting introduced to someone that you know, and is immediately the mannerisms,
yeah,
the way he talks and laughs and addresses Paul Hamilton and Mike Harrington, like immediately. Yep.
I would have expected to hear Thomas Vanek's name four times or something.
That's right.
With another coach.
That's right. Made me think, bring Vanek back. I don't know what I want him to do. He can have him do shootouts and intermissions,
okay,
or something.
Careful, because now you're becoming guy that wants Jim Kelly to be the Bills' offensive coordinator.
I didn't say on the staff.
You want him around.
I just want him to hang around. I love Thomas Vanek. He was great.
Shootout coach would be fine.
I don't even need any coach. Just hang out in the arena and give people high fives. I want Vanek as official high fiver.
High fiver.
So I'm not the same as wanting Kelly to run the offense. I just want, where is Vanek? Shouldn't we hear from him more?
He does some podcasting once in a while, I think.
Well, anyway, a quick thought on Lindy, and interested to hear what you have to think about it as well. The whole thing Paul said, and we'll talk to Paul at 7, that after a while it felt like he never left. Like, it's just a Lindy press conference. And that's how I felt. How long did it go? I don't even have any idea. I didn't track the time because I got lost in it.
Yeah.
They could have gone for 3 hours. Lindy holding court in that room in a similar way to, I'm trying to think, like other times people just start to talk and everybody is so locked in. And it felt like he was controlling that room so much through the radio and just through me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm glued to it, every word he has to say. He had a lot of really good insight. It wasn't your normal, you know, what do you want to do out there? Oh, we're going to play hard. We're going to play fast. There's got to be an element of physicality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that's there, but he's got specific stories about ways he has learned to reach different players and how he has changed. And I thought it was really interesting. He said when he went to Dallas, he felt like he needed to become a better coach.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't good enough. I got fired. I need to get better. And he evolved. And he felt like he got better as a coach. Imagine getting better at what you do at age 50.
Right.
That's admirable. So I thought that was good. And the whole thing made me feel like the difference between Lindy Ruff and Craig Berube as a coach, there's only one major difference in terms of their results and how we're supposed to feel about them right now, and that's this. Fans have an opinion of Ruff, and they would not really have one of Berube other than, oh, well, from what I hear, he's really good.
Right.
Lindy shows up day one, and this is the PR angle that the Sabres say is not important to them, but it matters to me because I'm a fan. Lindy shows up day one, and immediately I like the head coach.
Yeah.
And that would I feel that way about Gerard Gallant? I would like the idea.
Right.
I don't know if I'd like the coach.
But it would be like, okay, let's see what this is a little bit, whereas, I mean, there is still an element of that with Lindy, but you know who Lindy is.
Right.
You know how Lindy sounds. You know, like, it just feels comfortable. Right? It feels comfortable. I thought it was very interesting that Terry Pegula and Lindy Ruff yesterday citing things from the past, right, and lots of nostalgia, and it almost felt like Kevin Adams was
wishing that didn't happen,
like, uncomfortable with, like, guys, I'm trying to not have this be the thing, right? Like, not this to be that this is the hire because of nostalgia. Even when Paul asked him about his time being an assistant coach under Adams, like, he just didn't even really want to give credit to that, I think, about as a big reason why Lindy was here. I heard Mike Schoh point this out yesterday, and I think I noticed this on the drive past the arena, that the billboards and the stuff that they're using to promote Lindy, like on social media, Instagram, I noticed this, nothing says welcome back. Nothing says welcome back. The billboard out front in the arena says welcome Lindy.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really, it doesn't feel like they want it to be welcome back. They don't want you to maybe even know that he used to be their coach.
Which is impossible to not know.
Obviously.
But obviously. I heard that observation from Mike, too, and I thought that's a good observation. That it's not, not welcome back. Welcome.
Yeah.
And Lindy called himself the next Sabres head coach. You know, like, he's just,
he did. Yeah, yeah.
And there's
he tripped up for a split second when he did it.
And
so
there's a Seinfeld joke to be made about laundry. Like, what's the same about coaching the Sabres as before? The owner, the uniforms are not, the players are not.
The black and red uniforms are. They
brought those back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the only things that are that are really the same are the GPS location of the arena, the team name, and the owner. And pretty much everything else is different.
Right. Yeah.
803-0550. On Lindy, if you want, on the Bills and the draft, which is tomorrow. Darren and Wilson. Hey, Darren, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We're good,
Darren.
Good. I wanted to just get input from you guys real quick. What do you guys think about the Bills possibly maybe drafting a linebacker in this year's draft with Matt Milano coming off of injury, our other linebackers? I mean, they were solid last year, but I really don't think going forward that they're really the answer that we need at linebacker. I just wanted to get your guys' input on what the chances are of the Bills maybe drafting a linebacker in this year's draft.
I would say chances of depth linebacker are good because they have 10 picks.
Uh-huh.
But that there's no chance first, second round. They got a couple of fourths.
Day three,
it's possible.
And I don't even know, like, I don't even know if they need that, do they? They've got the reason first and second round is, like, no chance, off the table. That's one of their stronger positions, I think. Bernard and Milano lining up, and I know, you know, like, Darren points out the injury.
The injury is a big question here. Like, if they were to draft Milano, a linebacker, we would immediately say it must be bad news on Milano.
Man, but anytime I read one of these injury guys on Milano, it's broken bone, not ligaments. You don't really have to worry that much. Like, guys come back from that. And guys don't really lose a step when that happens.
That said, it was a lot longer than your typical broken bone. It wasn't just a typical...
Yeah.
However it was broken, I'm not a doctor on this, of course. I don't really have the x-rays or could tell you what's in the x-rays.
Right,
but,
true.
But I think Darren's point about the injury to Milano might make you wonder. His age, can he come back from it? They're probably confident next year linebacker is probably in the mix much more so.
Yeah. And behind them, like, they drafted a linebacker in the third round last year.
Dorian Williams.
Yeah, and he played a little bit, and there was some good, there was some bad, too. They signed Morrow from Philadelphia. They started Baylen Specter in a playoff game, and I heard about how much they missed him against Kansas City, in part because A.J. Klein had to play. So, I don't know. Could they do it? Part of it might be a little bit of, the 06 defenseman. Remember when the Sabres, the trade deadline the next year, brought in like a bunch of like average, like depth, like seventh defenseman at the deadline because of what had just happened to them in Carolina? They didn't want to change their blue line. What just happened to the Bills? Like, it is funny. How'd their season end? What position would you most indict them for their season ending? Receiver would be maybe top of my list, but
linebacker.
Linebacker.
Yeah, because, well,
they got picked apart at linebacker.
Well, what team wouldn't that happen to if you lose basically all of your starters?
Exactly, which is why I think they could add to the depth because they just had it kind of screw them, I guess, that their linebackers had a bunch of injuries. Do they want to be six deep now instead of four? Like, they might overreact just because of how the year just ended.
The last 2 years, playoff losses have happened in part because they've had to go to street free agents to play roles. 2 years ago, it was receiver, and last year it was linebacker.
Right.
The difference is linebacker was brought about by a run of injuries, and receiver wasn't. They weren't totally hurt. They just felt like they needed somebody to play slot, I guess, or they needed more answers when they lost to Cincinnati and they're dressing, you know,
John. They lost Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, and they're dressing John Brown and Cole Beasley down the stretch. Brown not that many times. Thanks, Darren, for the phone call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Our draft party. Who's coming? Are you ready?
Cannot wait. I got a bunch of friends coming. They're excited.
I got a report on the number, and we got a good crowd coming.
Yes. Yes.
It's exciting.
Yeah. It's the type of number that we could have chance, I feel like. There will be chance. What about songs, though?
We're short on time to do songs, but sure.
We only have, 18 hours? 18 hours, geez. It's early. I can't do math before 7 o'clock.
We should do full-on smokescreen reports, like things that are coming out today. One, the Bills are trying to trade up. We already mentioned that from Walter Football.
Yep.
I saw yesterday Keon Coleman looks like he might sneak into the first round. With so many receivers, what this also means is we've got this big receiver board here. I've got 7 guys I would be thrilled with, 4 guys I'd be nervous about, 2 guys I feel like it's too expensive. You know, like you've got your own tiers of happiness you're expecting. I saw Ricky Pearsall yesterday. A comp for Ricky Pearsall, Emmanuel Sanders. All right, done, sold, done. I'm into it.
We gotta be a little safer with some of these comparisons.
I have the attention of a cat chasing a laser pointer. I am chasing receivers, and wherever the rumor goes, I'm following it. You tell me that Ricky Pearsall's Emmanuel Sanders, I'm in on that. You tell me that whatever, Xavier Leggett's A.J. Brown, okay, now I'm over there, following it over there, so... I reserve the right to change what I think about receiver 1,000 times between now and the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Smokescreen season. It's delicious.
By the way, you asked earlier about Thomas Vanek and what he's doing now. Someone just tweeted, he is this is on their page too. He's a scout for the Sharks. His old buddy Mike Greer brought him in, I guess.
All right.
You want him as a scout?
No, I want him hanging out at the arena where I can high five him. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I miss Vanek. I miss Vanek goals. Vanek was cool.
He was their best player the last time they were good, right?
Yeah.
Lindy yesterday, by the way. I would love to be a fly on the wall with those conversations. Lindy did say yesterday when talking about, you know, how you got to coach guys differently, like that he was hard on Thomas Vanek and that they've actually had conversations over the years about like their how he coached him back in the day because he was hard on Vanek, really hard on Vanek. And did you have a guy in mind when he was talking about Vanek that way? Because I had Cousins in my mind about that. Like, who is he going to... I saw a good take on Twitter about this. Like,
who's he going to ride?
Who's he going to... If he's going to ride anybody like
because
that.
Because
like,
he knows...
Because Skinner is so old at this point. Like, it feels like you're wasting your time if you're thinking, I'm going to turn Jeff Skinner into some, you know, all-around 200-foot player. Whereas, who's the guy he would ride if he needs to? Like, doesn't it feel like Cousins is the guy that would need that, if anybody?
Maybe. Paul's point on this, and we'll talk to Paul at the top of the hour, is that he only would do that with somebody he knows can take it. And if Cousins...
Right.
Can do that, can take that. This is where I tell you, I've been watching the show Billions. I'm 10 years behind all of you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm finally getting around to Billions.
I remember that. I watched that in college.
Okay. And it the reference to Vanek yesterday made me think of the show Billions. Why? Because Bobby Axelrod, blah, blah, blah. He has a person employed to basically be the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Tell me how each individual is best reached. What approaches to dealing with this person will get the most out of them? And I thought about that with the Sabres. Like, what works for Lindy Ruff with Dylan Cousins might be different than what works for Lindy Ruff and Rasmus Dahlin or Owen Power. It's part of coaching. You got to figure out, you got to know the differences between your players. And Ruff talked about being tough but fair, and he knows he's got to be fair and that he can't quite be the way he was 15 years ago. So we'll see. We'll see. It's exciting. I think it's exciting. And... He said win now. 803-0550.
By the way, Ryan Miller is also on the Sharks staff.
Get him
Did
in
you know
for,
that?
Get him in on the high five team.
Goalie scout and goaltending development. Are these promotions, though? The high five team over what their current occupation is?
I want every night, Jay tweets right. in, Vanek high fives are called high Vs. Boom.
High Vs.
We're already marketing this. The Sabres need a high five team of alumni walking around the arena. Ladies and gentlemen.
Could you imagine? You're walking into the arena, you're waiting in line to get your tickets, and just, oh, look, there's J.P. Dumont with high-fiving people.
It's not
okay,
a terrible idea.
All right, I can be talked into this.
Fans, tonight's designated high-fiver will be...
Yuri Novotny.
Tony Ludman. Just walks around the arena high-fiving people. It's not a terrible idea. Legend of the game, right? We do that. All right, Jeremy and Joe... We're punchy. It's one day till the draft. It's going to be tomorrow. Sabres introduce Lindy Ruff. Lots and lots of NFL stuff to sift through, including the latest Bills rumor from Walter Football that they are prepping to trade up. Gauging all the prices. Call due diligence. Call it what you will. Get a break in. Get a call in. Get Paul Hamilton, top of the hour. Joe Marino with our final conversation with him pre-draft coming up at 7:30.
Looks over his shoulder. That wrister partially blocked by Montour. Out in front, Bobrovsky dives to his right with a robbery.
The save was...
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Insane.
That it was.
Someone just tweeted a comparison from the save to a painting from 1430 St. Francis of Assisi.
That's the Art on Sports account, right? You know about that account?
No, I'm just discovering this account.
It's one guy that takes pictures in sports and immediately from, I don't know if he does Google, I think he does it from memory, he's like an art major.
Yeah.
You'll find a picture in sports and he'll find you a famous piece of art that looks just like it.
That's awesome.
Art on Sports.
Just hit the follow button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Looks nice out there. A little bit of rain coming through, I believe. At least it was when I checked when I woke up. Eh, maybe not. Okay, just overcast.
I got hailed on yesterday.
In the 40s. You got hailed?
Hailed on. Was at the grocery store walking through the parking lot and just boom, here comes some hail for like, you know, 10 seconds maybe or 30 seconds. But, yeah, yesterday got a little stormy at the end there. Haven't had a good thunderstorm yet. In a long time, I would even say. But I don't need that because we need the golf courses to start drying out a little bit.
Are they really
wet? I don't have irons at the moment. If you ask me to golf right now,
you can't?
I can't go with you.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I sold them. How bad is this? I sold them before getting the new ones.
That's like trading Diggs before the draft. Right now, you're screwed. Like you got
that is almost exactly right now, what I've done.
And this is where you got to say, you know,
I've got a plan.
You don't necessarily need irons to play golf. And you're not wrong.
Right. And it's up to you to choose to believe whether I actually believe that.
That's right. I'm just going to hit driver and bump three woods in the fairway and then putt.
What would I shoot with just woods and wedges?
Stunningly the same score.
You think?
I've played in a three-club tournament where I used three-wood, eight-iron, and putter.
Uh-huh.
I shot about the same score. You would be.
Really?
Yes. You'll shoot almost the same. Yep.
Interesting.
All these tools, you don't even really need them.
Now I kind of want to try it.
You should do it.
Now I kind of want. I want to before I get my. I want to play around with just the woods and the wedges, and see what I shoot. And then I won't buy them because I'll be a better player probably.
Right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.